Daniel Perek Yud Pasuk Gimel. So we learned yesterday the first two pesukim that Daniel has a vision. He sees a vision and the Malach comes. The Malach says, I'm going to explain to you the deeper meaning of what this vision is, what the vision means. And it's going to happen in a long period of time, Vitzavo Gadol, or it means heavenly hosts. And understand this very well. All the various expressions of understanding of Vinas Hadavar, Vina Loi B'mare, and then Daniel begins to fast for Shloisha Shavuim Yamim, for 3 Shavuim. Does that mean 3 weeks or 3 Shemitah? So we discussed yesterday at great length, Rashi and the Abarbanel. Rashi says it means 21 days, 21 years. Yamim means years. Yamim tihye geulasa. We find in Tanakh that the word yam means years. And many of the other Rishonim disagree, and it means 21 days. Pasukim olechem chamudos leicha. I don't know.
Where you have
7 days, right.
Every time.
Generally, of course, yom means a day. It doesn't mean a year. Shnosayim yomim. So there it means years. Okay, it was 2 years. So here's another example. Parashas was Miketz. So you have here shnosayim yomim. Another example. The yomim means years. Okay, now, how did Daniel conduct himself during this fast? Lechem chamudos lo yachalti. I did not eat lechem chamudos. Delicious bread. Uvosar v'yayin lo yivo lp. And meat and yayin did not come into my mouth. V'soich lo yisochti. I did not anoint myself with oil. Ad milohis shleishes shavuim yomim. Until these 3 weeks were complete. Now, why here is he referring to bread? It's lechem chamudos. That's a very interesting idea. Okay, and let's see Rashi. Rashi pasuk gimel lechem chamudos. So Rashi is very simple. It means pasnikia. It's a term. In other words, in ksuvim, the way things are described in ksuvim, and not the way things are described in chumash or neviim. Hayluchod v'hayluchod, loshen chachamim luchod, loshen bnei adam luchod, and even in Tanakh, 3 parts of Tanakh, chumash, navi, and ksuvim, the words are used differently. So here it simply means, according to Rashi, it means pasnaki, clean bread. Shatir game unkelis is big the isaf hachamudos. Dachyoya means clean. Dachyoya means pure. So that's another interesting point which I think none of us are aware of, that big the isaf hachamudos. We are more familiar with Rashi. What does it mean, chamudos? Big the isaf hachamudos in Parshas Toldos. It means from Nimrod. Nimrod was a hunter. And Nimrod had the begadim from Adam Harishain. And what was unique about these begadim? These begadim had magical powers. On the begadim were designed, embroidered. It's not clear exactly what they looked like, but the begadim had images of various animals, of different animals. And when the hunter, when Adam or Nimrod would go out into the field, just a koyach of the clothing would cause the animals to come and to be captured in the hands of the hunter. So this was unique to Adam, to Nimrod, and Esav killed Nimrod, and Esav took for himself the clothing of Nimrod. And Yaakov Avinu was now dressed in these clothing by his mother, Rivka. And I guess the assumption was, I'm not 100% clear, is that if Yaakov Avinu would feel his clothing, just like if he would feel his arms, the arms were hairy, because she put on his arms the goat hair. Likewise, Yitzchak may feel his clothing, may come in contact with his clothing when he would kiss him, when he would touch him. And we want to make sure that he's wearing, this had a unique texture, the clothing, and that's why Big the Esav Hachamudos. But that's not what Rashi says. That's not what the Targum says. Targum says, Chamudos means pure. Dachyoya means pure, clean. Okay, so it's interesting that they were his clothing, they were clean, and that's exactly how it's been used over here in this pasuk according to Rashi. The Mitsudos, The Mitzudah says exactly the same thing. Pas Chamud v'Nikiyah means, it means clean. Okay, v'sochlo, sochlo, sachti v'shem ikdech hamis angim. This we know from the Gemara, was very popular in ancient times. People would smear their body with oils to soften their flesh, so he did not do these three things. These are three of the five inuim on a tainus and a Yom Kippur. We have three more besides eating, drinking, and we have an anointing, sicha. We have another two, tashmish hamita, and ni'ilas hasandal, shoes and tashmish hamita. But over here, this was for 21 days. This was not a Yom Kippur. This was not a Tisha B'Av, and therefore there was no, those two, it is not mentioned that it was done by Doniel. The Gemara says that there are three things that are very healthy for a person: basar, v'yayin, and shemen. These things, they're memayet zevel, they diminish waste. The Gemara says they're very healthy, and here exactly these three things are four things in this part. There's lechem, basar, v'yayin, and there's oil. So three of the four are presented here. He did not enjoy himself in these three things. I saw another interpretation why it says here lechem chamudos. We contrast lechem chamudos versus lechem oni, because according to the Abarbanel and many Rishonim, the 21 days mentioned here began with the first day of Nisan. As we're going to see, that Hashem is going to, the Malach will appear to him on the 24th day of Nisan. So if we learn that the 3 weeks are 21 days, not 21 years, we have to put on the calendar exactly when these 21 days occurred, when they happened. And we'll see, according to the simple understanding, it was in Chodesh Nisan. In Chodesh Nisan, when you pass through day 15, what are you required to do? To eat lechem oni, to eat matzah. Matzah is poor man's bread. So Daniel is saying, I was not mevatel the seder, just because I was fasting for 21 days. And I denied myself, what?
What did he do with wine?
Oh, so it's very good. So maybe wine was only midrabanan. The dalit kosos are only midrabanan, but lechem oni is the oraisa. Eating matzahs didn't, so it could be that Daniel felt hayra shah. There was a need over here. There was a need not to become the mitzvos in the full way they were meant to be fulfilled, and therefore it says here lechem chamudos loy ochalti. I only did not eat the chamudos bread that is lechem matzah ashira, egg matzah, or types of bread which are not the mitzvahs hayoim of lechem oni. But when it came to the Yom Tov of Pesach, it came to the 15th night of Pesach, the 15th night of Nisan, not of Pesach, I have a mitzvah de'oraisa to be mekayim lechem oni, that I did. And in fact, that would enhance my yearning for the geula, because what better way is there to yearn for geula than to focus on Yitzias Mitzrayim? Yitzias Mitzrayim was a geula for Klal Yisrael, and by reliving the experience, that will be a trigger to bring about the geula of the rebuilding of the Beis Hamikdash. So that is hidden here in this reference of lechem chamudos, but lechem only I did. Now, by the way, of course, we say if you're going to learn that he fasted for 21 days, it does not mean that he fasted 21 days straight. That is impossible. It means by day he fasted, but at night he ate. That has to mean that, because it's impossible for him to think that we don't have any record that it was a miracle. Like Moshe Rabbeinu, he went to Shemam 40 days, 40 nights, he said, Lechem Lechalti, and Mayim Lechasisi. We don't have that anybody in reference to the meal. It just means that during the day he did not eat. But even.
Or does it mean he only abstained from these items?
That's also a possibility.
Right.
That he did eat, he just did not eat good. He just ate the bare minimum. He did not eat pasniki, but he ate whole wheat bread. He did not eat basar, but he ate seeds and vegetables.
Like he did.
What?
Like he was in the palace.
Right, like he was in the palace still for those 3 years in training, correct. So that's an approach, that when we're describing over here that he fasted, it does not mean a full-fledged fast, it means he was pirish. He was a pirish, he denied himself the pleasures of life. Okay, pasik, now pasik dalet, uviyoim eshim v'yarbo l'chodesh harishon. Now, in the 24th day of the first month, that is Chodesh Nisan, v'ani hayisi al yad hanahor hagadol hu chidekel. I was standing along the river, the Nahar Hagadol, which is Chidekel. Chidokel. There are two rivers in Bavel. There is There's pros. What? I said I'm wrong.
Tigers.
Right, tigers. There are two. There is pros and there is chidekel. He is calling here the word the chidekel, the nahar ha-godol. Now we'll get to that in a few moments. So first of all, let's be curious as to what it says here that it was on the 24th day of the first month. 24th day. Why the 24th day? So according to the Abar Ben El and the Rishonim that learned that Daniel fasted for 21 days, we are going. They want to assume the following: that this fast started on the first day of Nisan. Mm-hmm. Now you'll ask, if the fast started on the first day of Nisan, it should have concluded on the 21st day of Nisan.
Like the break,
and then Hashem will appear to him on the 22nd. So what's 22nd, 23rd, 24th? The vision is 3 days late. What's happening here? So the answer is, they want to take this Pasuk Dalet and tie it back to Pasuk Gimel, where it says, Ad Milos. Milos means a full measure, meaning Shabbos was an exception. Daniel did not fast on Shabbos. He was mekabel upon himself to fast for 3 weeks. That was his Kabbalah. Hineni mekabel latzmi lesanois for 3 weeks, which means 21 days. But Shabbos, I can't fast Shabbos.
Or on Pesach.
Also, Pesach, we were assuming he did fast. Because Pesach, that's a question. It's a question. I think we have to say that Pesach fell on Shabbos. What?
Mordechai caught a lot of...
Esther did that. Esther, Vayavar. They were over on the midst of their Isa in order to awaken, to arouse... the Pamal Yisrael Milo, why aren't the Jewish people observing the Yom Tov of Pesach? Right. That was a technique in order to mevakesh, a unique technique, a desperate technique to mevakesh rachamim for the generation. So some say, some that say that we have to assume that this year Pesach coincided with Shabbos. So you don't have an extra day. At least the first day of Pesach, because you're not going to be able to have both days, because the 7th day of Pesach is not going to be, it's the first day of Pesach. And then it's going to be the 8th day, so it's not going to be the same. So you're not going to have.
So the
7th. Okay.
Yeah,
it's difficult. Okay. But at least the first day of Pesach is when you have the mitzvah deraisa of achilas matzah. It is the only yom tov when you have a mitzvah deraisa to eat. Not like we are brainwashed to believe that you have to eat donuts on Chanukah and you have to eat hamantashen on Purim, and every holiday has its unique food. That's not true. The only time you have to even have Torah is on Pesach Matzah. So here it says that it was the 24th day, so we want to assume that he did not eat on Shabbos. So even though he started fasting on the first day of Chodesh Nisan, he paused for the three Shabbosos. The three Shabbosos, which one of them coincide with Pesach, and that's why now he concluded his fast day, his fasting on the 24th day. The 24th day of the month is when 21 complete days of fasting were over, and now the Malach appeared and showed him this vision. Now, of course, according to Rashi, that learned that the 21 years, 20 doesn't mean 21 days, it means 21 years, then this number is not significant. It was the 24th day of the month that happened to be whatever the significance is. It is. Well, it's not clear. That's just the way it was. It was the 24th day of Chodesh Nisan. I'm sure there is significance. I do not know. Look at the calendar. What is the significance of that day of Nisan? But that was the day when the Malach came and appeared to him. Okay, that's one interesting point. Another point is here we call him the Nahar HaGadol Hu Chidekel. Now in the Torah, which one is the Nahar HaPras? Or Nahar HaGadol Hu Paras? So why then here in this pasuk is it called Nahar HaGadol Hu Chidekel? So there are two answers. One answer is this river is relative to the Nahar Uvol that we had in the previous parak. In the previous parak, one of the visions when he was shown the two, I think it was the vision on Perikates, where he was shown the two creatures, the Sa'ir and the Ayil. He was shown these two creatures, and one represented Parasumadai with the two horns, and the other represented Yavon, and then represented the one horn was Alexander the Great, and then it collapsed the four horns, and then came Rome, Edom, or it refers to the Hanukkah miracle, which we discussed at great length. That division took place al the Nahar called Uvol. There was a name, a river, we don't know what it was, it's not clear. Uvol. So this Chidekel relative to Har Uvol is Godol. Chidekel relative to Pras is small. But But Chidekel, relative to Uval, is the Nahar HaGodol. That is one very simple answer to explain what it means here, that Chidekel is the Godol. Another very nice answer, and this is much more, it's a deep answer which requires more, probably more Kabbalistic in nature, is that these two rivers, Chidekel and Paras, extend all the way from Eretz Yisrael to Bavel. Okay, how exactly it extends to Eretz Yisrael is another story. But let's just speak now on a theoretical point of view. There are two rivers, Chidekel and Paras. They extend from Eretz Yisrael to Bavel, but they change in size. From the perspective of Eretz Yisrael, Paras is the Nahar HaGodol. In Chumash Bereishis, when the Torah is describing Gan Eden, Unahar Yotzei Me'Eden, V'Shem Yipared V'Hoyel Le'Arbar Hashem, and it separates Gan Eden, we assume, is in the vicinity, or is in Eretz Yisrael. And there, Unahar Yotzei Me'Eden, V'Shem Yipared, and it separates. So when it separates, the largest one of the four is Paras. But it travels a great, great distance all the way until it winds, goes here and goes there until it comes to Bavel. And when it gets to Bavel, it's not the same. Paras gets smaller and Chidekel gets larger. So that's a very interesting point that we have in Yecheskel. The time of the Geula, very mysterious psukim, is that there's going to be a little teeny trickle. It's going to come out of the Kodesh HaKadoshim. It's going to start out like the size of the antenna of an ant. And then as it comes out of the Kodesh HaKadoshim, it gets a little bit bigger. It goes along the Shiluach, and it comes further and further. It goes out, and it becomes a massive, massive stream where even a large ship is unable to pass.
I'd like to see that.
And the Vichaskel. You know what I'm talking about. So it's there, it's fascinating that in that description, what's going to be the most HaMashiach, contrast this what is appearing here in time of creation, what's the water that's coming out of the Kodesh HaKadoshim starts out small, and it gets larger and larger and larger. Whereas here, what is considered to be the large, well, I don't know if it's a contradiction, Pros, which starts out as being Nahar HaGodol, when it makes its way to Bavel, is no longer Godol, it's small. And what started out Chidekel, which that does fit, I guess it does fit with what Yechezkel, that which was not considered Godol, where it came out of the Beis HaMikdash, as it makes its way to Bavel, is considered here to be now the Godol. So, in there, it's an interesting idea. There must be a lot more significance. You have to understand the significance. What is the greater, the symbolic significance of the river called Paras? What is the symbolic significance of the river Chidekel? And then we can perhaps understand why it is so that Paras starts out big, and when it makes its way to Bavel, is small. Whereas Chidekel starts out small, and when it makes its way to Bavel, is Godol. And take that, and then plug that into what's going to be Yimos HaMashiach, with a trickle of water that's going to come out of the Kodesh HaKadoshim, and become massive in size, and spread to the entire world, and bring refuah to the entire world. Okay, these are just raw ideas, which come out of the pasuk here in this very strange thing, which the mafarshim struggle. Hanahar hagadol hu chidekel. Really, is chidekel the nahar hagadol? That's the small river. Fine. Pasuk. Hey. Okay. Is there anything significant over here in Rashi? No, there is no Rashi. A pasuk in the Mitzudos. Let's go further. Pasuk. Hey. Voesosenai. Now Daniel says, I lifted my eyes. Voer and I saw. Vihinei ishechol lavush badim. There was an individual that was wearing badim linen. Umasnav, and his loins chagurim bekesem ufas, was dressed, was covered, chagurim was girded with gold. Kesem is gold, and paz, ufaz, is also a form of gold. Two words, which as far as we are concerned, mean the same thing. And the repetition means, obviously there's more to it, but it basically means that he was covered, he was wearing a garment of the finest, most expensive gold. Yeah.
Puz is fine gold.
Correct.
This is Ufaz. It's not a...
It's the same idea. Look at the Mitzudos. The Mitzudos Sion. Mitzudos Sion says, Badim, of course, is Pishon, is linen. Bekesem, Inyin Zof. Kesem is gold. V'chein, V'chole Chesem. Okay, look at the Mitzudos David. Bekesem, Puz, Bezof, Puz. Puz, Ufaz is Puz. Roishoi, Kesem Paz. Pasuk in Shir Hashirim. Same Pasuk. Kesem Paz. So why here is there an Aleph and a Vav? Aleph Vav as a prefix to the Paz? I do not know, but that's what it says. So we have these two words together, which means the Malach was wearing this garment called Kesem Paz. Now what's interesting is that the top was linen and the bottom is gold. What is the significance of linen and gold? So some of the Farshim say linen is white. And white represents rachamim. On the yomim noirohim, we dress in white. We wear a kittel. Now we saw a kittel zimask the yom hamisa, but there are many symbolic interpretations. White. What is white represents the concept of cleanliness, to remove stain, to remove sin. And the removal of sin comes through the midah of rachmonis, of rachamim. We dress the Sifrei Torah in white, the Aron Kodesh in white, we dress ourselves in white. The yomim and the rohim are days when we are mavakish rachamim. Gold all over Chazal represents the concept of din. There's gold and silver. Silver is kisufim, yearning. Zohav, I don't know the sources, but Zohav, it's well accepted that Zohav is din. So look at this, we have here a malach, and the malach, the upper portion of the malach, he's dressed in linen. Linen, by definition, is white, rachamim. And below, he's dressed in gold, din. This represents the concept that a malach is both. There are times of is part of creation. What was creation? B'yoyim b'ra Shem Elokim Eretz v'shamayim. The malachim were created at the time of creation, and Hashem created the world b'yom b'ra Hashem b'ra Shem Elokim Hashem Elokim. There is din. And there is racham. Hashem originally wanted the world to be created only with din, and Hashem saw the world cannot exist with din only, so Hashem was mishtatev din with rachamim. But nevertheless, built into the blueprint of creation, the DNA of this world, there is a combination of din and rachamim, and malachim, which carry out Hashem's will, capture these two middles. And it's also important to take note that the rachamim prevails upon the din, because the upper portion, the higher portion, is rachamim, and the lower portion, which represents a lower madrega, is din, to show that rachamim must prevail upon din. That's the way this malach is dressed. It's very significant to take note of that. Ish echol lavush badim, he's wearing linen, umasnav chagudim mechesem ufas, and the loins are girded with gold on the lower portion of the body. Okay, now we go to the next pasuk vav. Ugidiyaso. What about his body? The body was kisarshish. Now, what is sarshish? Sarshish is a stone, like it's marble. Marble, a certain type of marble. And that's what it is. Ugidiyaso kisarshish. Uponov, let's read the entire pasuk, we'll see Rashi. Uponov, and his face was kemari varuk, and his face looked like lightning. Okay, it was bright like lightning. The enof kelapide esh, and his eyes were like torches. Uziroy oisav, and his arms. Umargil oisav, and his legs. Kein choishas were copper. Kolol means pure. The purest form of copper, we all impurities have been purged in the kiln. The kol divarov ke kol homon, and the sound of his words was like the sound of a homon, which means the roar of water. Okay, all of these different things coming together, water and fire, contradict one another. But when it comes to Malach, there are no contradictions. Let's first see the Mitzudos. The Mitzudos says, "Zuguviyasei kesarshish, gufoy hoya kein even tarshish." Tarshish is a certain exotic type of marble stone. Hanoite lemara hatcheles, and tarshish looks like the blue color of tcheles. Kikol hamoin, kikol hamoyas amrav. So here the hamoin, he did not, I told you, means water. That's another interpretation. Hamoin, a loud, it means a tumult. It means like a crowd. Go to Grand Central Station, everyone is running around, you hear a lot of people talking and moving around. That's called the hamoin. It sounds like one malach has the sound as if he represents a crowd of millions of human beings. Let's see Rashi, Pasik Vav. That his body, the height of the body was 2,000 parsa. It takes a parsa, and try to imagine the parsa is a nil is 4 parsos, and that a nil is about 3/4 of a mile. So try to imagine, make the calculation, 2,000 parsa. It's quite a distance. Quite a distance. Kimidas Yom, this is Joshua, Sheshmo Tarshish, the Hu Yama Shel Africa. Okay? Yama Shel Africa, I'm not sure what he's referring to. Yama Shel, what Yama Shel Africa, the Mediterranean? No, we don't call it Yama Shel Africa.
We discussed this before. Where is Tarshish, right? The Anios Tarshish. We talked about this.
Right. The Mediterranean, that's right.
Gibraltar.
Okay. Okay, so these are mysterious things, but at any point, the Gemara makes a drash, the Gemara says that the Yam, we're not calling it a city, they're calling the sea, there is a special sea, a body of water that is called Tarshish. And this body of water is large, it's huge. It is the size of 2,000 parsa, huge distance. And the Gemara is making a drash that the height of a malach, I was not for us to understand this, is that the height of the malach is, that's what the Pasuk of here means, is that we're referring to his height, not just what he it means the distance, the length, his height. He wasn't 6 feet. He was Ugiviyaso, his height, the size of his body was Kisarshish, was equal in size to Yam Shel Africa, which was 2,000 parsa. Okay, that's Rashi. Let's go further.
Sounds like the Mediterranean, which
along
North
possibly.
Africa.
Okay, along North Africa. Okay, fine. So if you want to learn, that's the distance of the height of the Malach. Now, Pasik Zayin. I alone, Daniel, saw this as Hamara, the following vision. Now this is a very, very famous pasuk, but the people, the individuals that were together with me did not see this vision. Suddenly it was shown to me a frightening vision. And that will be described in great detail in Perek Yud Aleph in the next Perek. We don't even get to the vision until much later on. But I saw a vision, and the vision refers to what will occur at Acher Sayamim. I saw this vision. At that moment in time, Levadi, I alone. But the Anashim HaShohayu, you mean, who would you think these Anashim are? So you would think it refers to Hananya, Mishael, Azar, because that's how the Sefer begins. The Sefer begins with 4 individuals, Daniel and his 3 friends, Hananya, Mishael, Azar, but no, they're not here. They're gone. They're long gone. We learned that after the miracle of them being thrown into the Kivshan Oesh, they checked out. Where did they go? There are different opinions. Some say that they died. Some say that they died immediately. It's a very strange concept that after such a great miracle happened where they were thrown into a furnace and they survived, 5 minutes later, they suddenly died because of Ayin Hara. Because people were jealous that it was such great tzaddikim, you were able to merit such a wonderful miracle, and then suddenly, so that's another interpretation is that they made aliyah, they went to Eretz Yisrael. It's not exactly clear how they were able to do so because there was no one living in Eretz Yisrael at that point in time. Eretz Yisrael was desolate for 52 years. So perhaps it means that they lived in the vicinity. They moved to Eretz Yisrael, they lived around one of the, not Mamish in Eretz Yisrael, but near Eretz Yisrael, waiting to enter for the right time. There are different interpretations. So, but one thing is certain: Hananya, Mishael, and Azariah already skipped town during the lifetime of Nebuchadnezzar. And here we are during the time of Koresh. We're here many years later. We're here after Evel Merodach. So we're dealing over here more than 23 years later since Evel Merodach. And we're past Belshazzar, another 3 years. And we're past the 1 year of Daryavish. And we're 3 years into Koresh. So we are almost 30 years later, at least almost 30 years, even maybe even more, since the time of the miracle of Hananiah, Mishael, Azariah being thrown into the Kivshan HaEsh, which happened during the time of Nebuchadnezzar. So there's nothing to talk about, and yet we would expect that they would be present. They're not present because at least 30 years ago they disappeared. They went away somewhere else, and that's not who we are referring to. Oh, so who are the number we're referring to? So who are we referring to? Chagai, Zechariah, Umalachi. These were the last of the three Nevi'im that appear in the Sefer Treyasar, and these were the last, and they lived into the Bayis Sheni. Nevuah did not come to an end until the beginning of the Bayis Sheni. We had Nevuah to start off the Bayis Sheni. We merited that. They got a good foundation. Got a foundation built upon prophecy, which is very significant. It just didn't happen. The Bayis Sheni wasn't just built. Oh, it built the Bayis without prophecy. No, they were prophets. They were present. So even though they were prophets in that division, Avol, however, Charado Gidoilo Nofla Alehem, terror. A great terror overcame them. Vayivruchu Behechave, they fled into hiding. Vayivruch means they fled into hiding. I'll see over here Rashi. Rashi.
If it says for Isi,
yeah.
So he saw himself in the Nevuah, and then there were the other Nevi'im with him at that time.
But they did not see. They were present. They were standing together with him, and they did not see anything. He saw a vision, but they did not see it.
Well, he had seen himself with the other Nevi'im, but he was the only one who saw himself seeing the...
He was physically standing together with them, but they did not see anything.
It's true.
It could be
a vision.
Yes, but you could also interpret it that I saw Daniel. I saw myself within the...
I saw myself?
No, but there were previous visions where he has a vision within a vision. Right. But this might not...
He's trying to somehow bring it into the pasuk. There was a vision within a vision.
Right.
It's an idea. We have to work it out. I don't know. Okay, that's not a simple interpretation. When you're saying something that has precedent and is interesting, we have to work it out in the words of the pasuk. Let's see here, Rashi, pasuk Zion. Rashi says, V'neshma shachayomi amru rabo seinu zchonim levracha heim chagai zecharya umalachi, the three last prophets. Avol, they did not see anything, but I saw it. Avol charoda gedolu nafalayim amru rabo seinu. Even though you do not see, this is a yesod for life, and this is something which is we all experience this. You cannot deny the fact that we all experience this at some point in our life, here and there, some more and some less. It's like you have a bad feeling about something.
Sixth sense. A sense or a sensation.
You have during the time of the stories from the Holocaust, a billion stories like this during the Holocaust, during an eighth tzara, and even where you sense something is wrong. I don't know. I just don't feel right. And then you find out a day later, a week later, a year later, that exactly at that time when you sensed something was wrong, there was something wrong. Someone in your family, someone close to you, or you yourself were in a very great sakana, a very great danger. And sometimes it works out well, and Rachmana Litzlan, sometimes it does not work out well. There is a certain sense. Again, we have everyone, I don't have to explain Bimarach, everyone has this idea, and it's exactly, because what does it mean? Every living creature has in heaven a malach, has a mazel, a supernatural advocate in Shemayim, a representative in Shemayim, who knows things that the person on this earth does not know, but there is some type of connection, some type of subconscious communication between the mazel and Shemayim and what is taking place on this world, and there are vibrations, and the mazel senses something is wrong or something is good. There are times when there's a certain sensation where things are good. We discuss in the Minhagim about sneezing. Remember that we had a whole session on sneezing? It also works with this principle. It's a good simon. There's something happening in Shamayim. There's some type of meeting that's taking place in the heavenly abode where they're deciding good things, good tidings for this person, and somehow the mazel has that sensation and it causes the neshama to sneeze. So there is this communication between the two, and that's exactly what's saying over here about what they sense. Let's see. Yes, the Gemara. There's a very well known Gemara. I thought it was here. I'm shocked to see that it's not. I know it's here somewhere. I can't believe it's not here. And this it has to be here somewhere. Can't believe it. The Gemara compares. Can't believe it's not here. I must have had it before. I don't want to repeat it. The Gemara says the difference between. This is a critical pasuk describing the difference between Doniel and Nevi'im. The question, the big question, the number one question with Sefer Doniel, the mother of all questions, what is Doniel doing in Sefer in Ksuvim? Why isn't Doniel in the Sefer Nevi'im? The whole Sefer is all about prophecy. It's all about visions. He sees the vision, he sees the Ayil and the Sawyer, he sees the statue, he interprets the dreams. What more do you possibly want? Why doesn't Daniel qualify as a prophet? Obviously, the reason why Daniel is not in Sefer Nevi'im and Daniel isn't Sefer Ksuvim is because Daniel is not a prophet. If he's not a prophet, how does he merit all of this communication with the other world? So the Chazal tell us he had what's called Ruach HaKodesh. Now, as far as we're concerned, we have no clue what's the difference between Nevuah and Ruach HaKodesh. We don't know the Aleph Beis. But there are two different concepts called Ruach HaKodesh and Nevuah. And Daniel only had Ruach HaKodesh, which enabled him to see things that the average person cannot see, but it doesn't come to the level of prophecy. Prophecy is a higher level. And within the level of prophecy, there are many levels. There is Moshe Rabbeinu, there is Yeshaya. Moshe was the Av HaNavim spectrum. And then the Chazal say that in many respects, Yeshaya was equal to Moshe Rabbeinu. You can't say that he was totally equal because Moshe was the Av HaNavim. But after Moshe Rabbeinu, it's very clear the next one in the hierarchy is Yeshaya. And then you have all the other prophets, which are on a lower level. So even within prophecy, there's a spectrum. After prophecy begins the concept called Ruach HaKodesh, which Daniel is included. And in fact, Chazal goes said for this, that Daniel was a Chacham. In the Koach of Ruach HaKodesh, there's also a concept which perhaps is interlinked, maybe it's separate, is a concept called Chochmah, wisdom. Wisdom. So the Gemara says, on the one hand, when we compare a Navi to a Chacham, you can't necessarily say one is greater than the other. One would be tempted to say that a Navi is on a higher spiritual level than a Chacham.
But the Gemara says Chacham Adif.
Exactly. So Chacham, where do we learn that from? Daniel. Because over here, Daniel merited to see the vision, but they did not see the vision. But on the other hand, the Chazal say they're called Nevi'im. And you can't deny the fact that a Navi has one up over a Chacham. He has some type of inside connection. So that's the contrast between these two. Let's see here, the Mitzudos.
The Avos we know had Ruach HaKodesh.
And everything.
They're not called Nevi'im.
No, they are. There's much discussion. Yes, I believe they are. Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov are including the Nevi'im. We don't. They're on a different level of Nevu'ah. But I believe that it's discussed at great length that they are included in the Nevi'im. The Avos. David also. What?
Shem appeared to Avimelech and told him regarding not touching.
Eish es Navihu. Yeah. So they have even the pasuk. Okay, that's they're losing on a higher level. Okay, it's a very complicated issue of where the Avos fit into the big picture of things. Yeah.
Did the Kodesh Baruch Hu ever speak to Daniel directly? Well, we know
he did not.
Whereas Navi'im, the Kodesh Baruch Hu spoke to them.
I don't know if every Navi Hashem spoke to. Hashem showed things to Nevi'im. It's not necessarily that Hashem spoke to them. They were able to see things. Speaking, Yeshaya Hashem spoke to. The Cheskas Yod, we find that Hashem actually spoke to Yeshaya. Other Nevi'im that Hashem speak to, I do not know. I'm not so sure. It's always a Dibur. It's more of a revelation.
Okay.
It's a very. I don't know. It's very complicated. You're asking things which are. These are very difficult things to answer, and it's not. I'm not at all prepared to know the answers to these questions. There are encyclopedias on these concepts. The difference between all the various. There are 48 prophets in Tanakh, and there are 7 female prophets. And if you analyze, you're baki muflug in Tanakh, and you're baki muflug in Chazal, and you analyze what Chazal say about every single one of the prophets, and you analyze the difference in the expressions, the nuances, then you can somehow begin to develop a feeling of different levels of prophecy and how each one fits into the big picture of things. So it's very, very complicated. But let's see over here the Mitzudos. The Mitzudos, they ran into Hanin Pasig Zayin, Vanoshim. Vanoshim, Amur Rab, Sinsor and Levrocha, Him Chazazar, Zahar Malachi, Avul Charade, Im Ki Him Loiro, Ki Mazlayu Chazu Kain, Amur Rab, Sayus, Levrocha, Mechave, Lahast, Yatsam, Mamakam, Machavo, Umistar. They went into a Cheder Chosum. They went into a hiding place. Okay. Now, again, so the area, the contrast, they did not see, but I saw the contrast. I'm on Pasuk Zayin. Okay, so each one had a milah over the other. The milah was that Daniel was called a saw the vision, but on the other hand, they were prophets, and he was not a prophet. Now, something else interesting, before we can conclude this side point, here it says, Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky, very big baldiktuk, tremendous baldiktuk, he points out here, it says, Loiro es hamar'o, mar'o with the komatz, under the aleph is l'shoin nekeva. Where else do we have the same word in reference to a vision? By Moshe Rabbeinu. Vayar Hashem kiso liros, Moshe, I don't know. Mahamare hazeh. The mare is spelled with a segel underneath the aleph. Segel is always lashon zohar. So what's going on? Is the word mare, and both of them are seeing supernatural things. They're seeing Moshe Rabbeinu is seeing the sneh in ukal. That represents incredible revelation that clouds with imoinochi b'tzara. I'm going to be with you. The tsar is the thorn bush, represents tsar and pain, and it's not being consumed. I'm with you, and you'll survive all the tsaros. It's a very great revelation. We just read it over. A bush burning, and the bush is not consumed. It's one of the highest levels of prophecy that Moshe Rabbeinu is experiencing. He's awake, he's seeing something. Hamare hagodol hazeh, ma'adu lo yivar hasneh. And it's spelled with a segol. And here it says, Hamara. I see a vision. I see incredible things. I see it's laid out in front of me, the secrets of the world. And here it's spelled with a comma, it's Lashon Nekeva. What's going on? So Yaakov Kamenetsky says, in the very simple assembly, is when Moshe Rabbeinu, when he turned to see the Mare, he did not yet know at that moment, this is like a very postulated answer, he did not yet know at that moment in time, when he turned to the Mare, that it was supernatural, that he was witnessing a vision, he was witnessing a prophecy. Nevuah is Nekeva. A prophecy is Nekeva. Moshe Rabbeinu thought he was seeing something natural. Mm. He saw. Look at this. I'm here in the fields with my animals. I'm a shepherd. Oh, look at this. There's something burning over here, and it's not being consumed. A new scientific discovery. Nothing special. It's part of nature. So the Mare, he related the Mare to himself, to the Ish, to the human being. I am a human being. I am a male. I am a zohar. I am seeing something. Mare means what I, Moshe, a human being who is a zohar, are witnessing. Being that he did not, at this point, know that it was supernatural. It was a nevuah, b'loshon nekeva. That's why it's written b'loshon zohar. Whereas here, Daniel, from the very beginning, from the get-go, I know I'm seeing a prophecy. Well, he's not a prophet, but I know that I'm seeing a revelation, a b'derech nevuah, which is the Shechina. And the Shechina is referred to as, in the feminine, form. The Shechina is always referred to in the feminine, whether it's Nevuah, whether it's the Shechina, whatever it means. So that's why right away it's called the Mar'ah. I recognize from the very beginning that this is a revelation of divine presence, which is termed in, is described in the feminine form. Moshe Rabbeinu in the very beginning did not know what he was seeing. He thought he was seeing something natural, so he related the vision to his personal human vision, which is Lashon Zohar, male, referring to himself. That is a very simple answer, al derech pshat. But on a deeper level, you can say, is that the vision of Moshe Rabbeinu Madu Lo Yivar Hasne was a much greater vision. It was a vision that refers to the Geula Shalema. What do we mean? B'sham Nashir Shir Chadash. Generally, Oz Yashir Moshe Oz Yashir Moshe Uvnei Yisrael Es Hashira. We've thrived throughout Chazal. This is one of the most famous Mari Chazal. A difference between Shira in the feminine form and a Shira, a song, in the masculine form. When it's in the feminine form, it refers to a temporary salvation, a Geula for now. We suffer, Hashem saves us, Hashem does for us chesed, miracles, and we have salvation, and then we're able to go forward, but it's like a woman who gives birth. A woman who gives birth, this is not my last. I have more to come. I always tell you that joke. It was a person's name was Pesach. It's a true story. His name was Pesach, and he had 10 children. It's a true story. He had 10 children, and when he had his 7th child, he came in and he told he was a teacher in yeshiva. I thought it was very prost that when he had him to say this, but this is what he said. He came into class and he said, "I get a mazel tov. I just had my 7th son." It was a son. He says, "Rabbis, I want to let you know something. This is Shvi Shul Pesach, but it's not Acharon Shul Pesach." So when a woman gives birth, she is hoping that it's not the Shvi Shul Pesach. She's hoping there's going to be more. There's going to be more chevlei leida. There's going to be more pain and suffering. It ain't over yet. It's a lot of screaming that will take place, and a lot of epidurals that are going to have to be injected. It's a lot of pain that has yet to come. That's the geula. That is the simcha of song in this until the ultimate time of the geula. But the ultimate geula is Lashon Zohar. Because then, that's it, there's no more. It is the ultimate geula. There are no more tzaros that will follow afterwards. But let's even go on a deeper level. We mentioned this also not so long ago, is that generally speaking, if you look at all the miracles that happen until the time of Mashiach, they all come through women. Purim is to Esther. Chanukah, we discussed this week, through Yehudis. Even when it comes to Pesach, Bezchus, Noshim, Tzidkanios. You go through everything. You want to look at the state, Golden Meir. You go through history, all of the salvations, they're always in the mix. Always you have women in the mix. Why is that so? Why is there always women? Why are they with Mishacharayim, the women? What are they getting involved with? The answer is, a woman has the nature of Rachmanis. The nature of a woman is Rachamim. Men are very rough. Men represent the concept of Midas Hadin. All of the salvations that we have merited in this world until the ultimate geula, we don't deserve. We are sinners. Hashem goes the extra step and brings for us salvation through the midah of rachamim.
Which, by the way, is why the womb is called
the rechem, rachamim. Noshim rachmonios heim. So Hashem brings about the miracle through Noshim, to show to us, Rabbi Sai, you don't really deserve this. But Nichmeru Rachamov, there'll be Rachamim. But the Geula Shalema we're going to earn, it's going to be with Din. After all the years of Galus, all the Tsaras, all of the lessons, all of the our experiences, we're going to earn the Geula Shalema. The male, the Geula Shalema is not going to come about through women. Only men. Men only. Because it's going to be din. All of the salvations that have come to this world until the Geula Shlema are all through women. But not the Geula Shlema of Hashem Nashir Shir Chadash, not a Shira Beloshon Nekeva. So now, look, now we can understand what's going on over here. Moshe Rabbeinu has the Mar'eh. He sees the vision Beloshon Zohar. Daniel sees a vision Beloshon Nekeva, Mar'ah. Because what Daniel is seeing is not the Geula Shalema. He's seeing the process of Geula. Geula is a long process that plays itself out over generations. There's going to first be the Bayis Sheni, and during the Bayis Sheni there are going to be so many Tkufos, all different nations, like we learned, Paras, and there's going to be Yavon, and Hashmonoyim, and Rome, and then there's going to be 2,000 years of Golis, ups and downs. There's a process. That's what Daniel is being shown. He's being shown the process. And the Mar'ah is Shira. Oz Yoshe Moshe V'nei Yisrael Es HaShira B'loshon Nekeva. But Moshe Rabbeinu, when he's by the snare, Hashem is showing Moshe Rabbeinu, this is like this is the model for the whole picture for all of time. And in fact, Moshe Rabbeinu says, this is going to be the Geula Shleima. Hashem says, no, it's not. You have to go in steps. Shlach Nabi Atishlach. I don't want. Send Eliyahu. I only want the big picture. I want the very, very end. But when HaKadosh Baruch Hu first reveals Himself to Moshe Rabbeinu in the Sneh HaShmosh, HaKadosh Baruch Hu showing Moshe Rabbeinu not just the process. He's showing Moshe Rabbeinu the end game. The process with the ultimate, ultimate end when the Geula Shlema will occur. And throughout, the rule is for Hasneh Einenu Ukal. Throughout all the thorns, all the tsaros, all the humiliation of being low like a thorn bush, and the pricking and the suffering, they will never be destroyed. V'hasneh enenu ukal, imo enochi b'tzara, Klal Yisrael will survive, and there will be ultimately a Geula Shlema. Moshe sees the very end, the sheer, Sham Nashir Shir Chadash, it's Mar'eh, B'lashon Zohar. But Daniel, relative to Moshe Rabbeinu, was severely limited in his scope of vision. The male, it's only B'lashon Nekeva, the process, not the ultimate Geula. So it's a very important point, little simple thing, little simple Nikud, Mar'eh, Mar'eh, and you see such a major Yisoid comes from this one little word. Okay, so that's what we're up to. We'll have to stop here. So you're saying a very deep idea. You're saying that their mazel saw the din. So that was too much. The din was on a lower level. He only saw the rachamim. He was able to see it. Okay, that's a very interesting idea. Okay.